This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Two Kalamazoo men are being honored later this month for their work to support African-American fathers and families. Coming up, I'll talk with Charlie's Place founder Charles Parker and the man who launched the Fatherhood Network, Kevin Lavender Jr. But first, for months, it was assumed that six candidates would compete in the Democratic primary in Michigan's 6th Congressional District. But two of those candidates are off the ballot, with one of them, Paul Clements, suing over the ruling that he fell 9 valid signatures short of the 1,000 needed to qualify. Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow joins us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. Hello, Zach.
Hi, Gordon.
Let's begin with this. Paul Clements has run twice before, so he was one of 7 candidates who was disqualified from the ballot, 7 candidates throughout the state who had planned to run for Congress disqualified. Was his case probably the most controversial and maybe the most surprising?
It definitely was. The other candidates were all pretty easy calls, just simply not enough valid signatures from registered voters because they either were not registered, maybe they didn't live in the district. Those were relatively easily dealt with. But Clements was 9 signatures short of the 1,000 signature minimum needed. And his was an unusual case because he lost 77 signatures due to a extremely arcane piece of the petition process to get on the ballot. To get on the ballot for Congress in Michigan, you need to have a minimum of 1,000 signatures from registered voters, and they have to be quote unquote valid. And the problem with the 77 signatures was people marked their community that they lived in, let's say Kalamazoo, and in that box where you put your community of residence, there are 2 other boxes, one that says city and one that says township. And 77 people checked the wrong one. If they lived in the township, they put city. If they lived in the city, they put township. And the Michigan Bureau of Elections invalidated those signatures on that basis, and that caused him to be disqualified.
Would this lawsuit perhaps be getting more attention and maybe some additional help from other groups if Paul Clements had been the only Democrat to file in the 6th Congressional District, which he was in both 2014 and 2016?
Certainly, if he was the only Democratic candidate and had been disqualified and the party was left without a candidate, it would be getting a lot of attention. But as you said, there are 4 other candidates, and you know, Paul Clements has had 2 shots at this, and he's lost quite substantially to Congressman Upton both times. The Democrats seem to be much more excited about George Franklin and Matt Longjohn, you know, as far as who has momentum and interest. You know, when you lose a couple races, you do have your core of supporters, but there's going to be others out there who are going to be saying, hey, you know, we need to give somebody else a shot.
So let's shift gears a little bit here. You blogged a little while back about the task which faces the Democrats if they want to take control of both the state house and the Senate. Let's maybe break those apart and do them one by one. How hard would it be to take the state house?
Difficult. I think the word I used was daunting. The Republicans have a 9-seat majority there. You know, for the Democrats to win majority, they're going to have to flip 9 currently Republican seats. The Democrats have had a lot of positive developments throughout this election cycle so far. Obviously, you have a Republican in the White House who seems to be unpopular, especially with the Democratic base. You also have had a Republican governor in Lansing for 8 years. That makes this a change election. The overall structural dynamics are favorable for the Democrats, even though it's a midterm, which historically has not been terribly kind to them. For various reasons, the Republicans seem to have missed out on getting grade A quality candidates for a number of the seats now in Democratic hands that will be open because of term limits. You know, the Democrats coming this cycle were looking at having to seriously defend probably 5 seats. But there's really only one of them where the Republicans seem to be legitimately in a position to flip it, maybe 2. So they're not going to have to play nearly as much defense as one would have thought at the beginning of the cycle. That said, if you look at the whole map, the Democrats are going to have to probably flip almost every contested seat out there. They're going to need some type of a wave dynamic. They're going to need to win in places they haven't won before, in Oakland County in particular. They're going to need to win in places like Southwest and Western Kalamazoo County, where Representative Iden holds a seat. They're going to need to win in Eaton County, an open seat, you know, places like Grand Ledge and Potterville and so forth. Those are the kinds of places they're going to have to win. They don't have a great track record of winning on a consistent basis or competing on a consistent basis of those places.
So let's talk about Brand Eyden for just a moment. You mentioned him as one of three incumbents that Democrats would probably be targeting to flip control of the House. And I can hear Republicans out there right now saying, hey, wait a minute, didn't I hear on WMUK 2 years ago, maybe from Zach Gorchow, that Brand Eyden could be in trouble in 2016 if there had been an anti-Trump wave in Michigan? Of course, that anti-Trump wave never really developed. President Trump won Michigan's electoral votes and Brand Eyden was reelected. So is he safer this time around as he runs for reelection for what would be his final term in the state house?
Well, I look at a couple factors. Number one, he has never broken 50% of the vote. The next thing I look at is Trump is just so unpopular in Kalamazoo County, and he historically has not been very popular in that district, which is places like Portage and Texas Township and so forth. So that sets up a, you know, potential problem for him in that area. Portage is becoming more and more diverse. It's got a relatively large percentage of residents with bachelor's degrees. That is sort of the emerging dynamic of a district that Democrats think we're going to have a chance at flipping some districts we haven't historically won in places that have, you know, showing increasing racial diversification and more people with bachelor's degrees. This time around, too, you know, one of the things that really cost the Democrats is they really did not have a good candidate the last two times against Brand Eyden. John Fisher had millions spent on his behalf and really couldn't get anything going. They've got three candidates this time, two of which seem to be serious candidates. Neither of them have a track record of running for and winning elected office, but they both look like, you know, people who can be at least, you know, carry the flag, run a viable campaign.
One of the other districts you say is going to be key for the Democrats is the 62nd in Calhoun County, including the city of Battle Creek. And you say the Democrats probably got a bit of a break here because of John Bison running for state senate.
Yeah, if Representative Bison had run for reelection, this is one where the Democrats they may have put up a decent candidate, but this may have been one they would have had to write off. I mean, Bison just proved to be a really strong candidate in a district that historically leaned Democrat. It was drawn to be a Democratic district. You hear a lot of Democratic gripes about redistricting. Doesn't apply here. The Republicans drew this district with the idea in mind that it would be the more Democratic district in Calhoun County. And the other factor that I think would have scared Democrats off is Trump did better than expected in this district last time around. I think he carried it, if memory serves. So, but now with Bison out, you know, he had a sort of popular profile as a physician. Now the Republicans are running a guy named Dave Morgan. Interesting story. He's a former Democrat. He ran for the seat as a Democrat
right.
4 years ago. He's a former Democratic Party leader locally, but
yes,
he is now the chair of the Calhoun County Republican Party. The Democrats are coming back with Jim Hodzma. He's the guy who challenged Bison and came oh so close 2 years ago. I think you look at this on paper, Hodzma starts out with an advantage because he did come so close 2 years ago, and now it's an open seat, and you have the midterm, the dynamic with the president's party being the Republicans, the Democrats having some momentum. But, you know, this has been a tight district for a long time, and I wouldn't expect anybody to pull away with it. But if the Democrats even want to entertain the idea of winning control of the House, they're going to have to win this one.
So speaking of tight races, as we look over at the state Senate, you tell us that it's going to be very, very tough for the Democrats to take control of the state Senate. Your words, it would take a political earthquake, tsunami, EF5 tornado, Category 5 hurricane, pick your phenomenon to flip control of the Senate. Of course, one of the key races that people will be looking at for the Democrats to try to pick up is the state Senate district, which includes Kalamazoo County, which was very, very close back in 2014. If the Democrats are going to make any sort of a run at control, this is one of the coin flip districts you say it has to win.
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans have functionally a 27-11 majority right now. So for outright control, the Democrats need to flip 9 seats. That has never happened in a single Senate election in modern Michigan politics. You have to go back to the days when we elected the Senate every 2 years. 1964, 1932 are the only times the Democrats have flipped that many Senate seats in a single election. So it really would take just something cataclysmic for that to happen. But yeah, you look at the Kalamazoo County District, this is the 20th district, Margaret O'Brien, the incumbent senator who beat Sean McCann by 61 votes as the last precinct came in 4 years ago. It's a rematch, and everybody's expecting this is going to be a barn burner again. You know, O'Brien is very personable and personally popular, and that will put her in good stead. She's worked a lot of different issues. You know, and boy, I was talking about this with a friend the other day. We've been talking, I think, for two decades that structurally Kalamazoo County is going to be moving to the Democrats. I could go back to 98 and remember people saying, boy, you know, the Democrats might be Dale Sugars in that Senate seat. And it just, they have just not been able to get over the top there. But the Trump dynamic may be what finally does it. You know, again, as we talked about, he's very unpopular in Kalamazoo County. You know, it's going to put O'Brien in a difficult position and will give McCann some momentum. That said, it is a rematch. Rematches, typically, the advantage goes to the person who won it the first time. It really is going to come down to, has all the effort that O'Brien has put in the last 4 years and her own personal strengths, is that going to be enough to overcome, you know, some wind in her face this time around?
Zach, as always, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service. He joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. You can find a link to Zach Gorchow's blog on the Democrats' prospects in the State House and Senate, and a longer version of this interview at WMUK.org.